From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Although the issue of healthcare was not strictly on the ballot on Tuesday, it emerged as a major issue. Associated Press conducted an exit poll in which a whopping 60% of voters agreed that it should be the responsibility of the federal government to make sure that all Americans have health care coverage. This strong support has emerged in spite of the Trump administration's ardent efforts to demonize ideas like expanding the Medicare program to cover all Americans. Meanwhile, in several Republican states, voters passed ballot measures expanding access to Medicaid after their GOP state lawmakers refused to comply with that aspect of the Affordable Care Act. Was healthcare access the unsung issue of the 2018 midterm elections? My guest is Paul Song, a board-certified radiation oncologist, co-chair of the Campaign for Healthy California. He's also on the board of Physicians for a National Health Program, and he's our healthcare correspondent. Welcome, Paul.
Always great to be back.
So, first of all, the issue of Medicaid expansion didn't get that much attention, but it took place in red states. And it was interesting because this was where the voters of a primarily red state bypassed their own lawmakers to say, we need to expand Medicaid. This was quite significant, wasn't it?
Absolutely. I think people are starting to see other red states like Ohio, where the governors have implemented Medicaid and how that's been a boon to their economy, as well as giving more health security to lots of low-income individuals. But then you had states like Maine, which had passed a similar initiative before, only to have the outgoing Governor LePage refuse to implement it. So the question will be, in these Republican states or these red states where they've successfully passed the initiative, whether or not their governors will again obey the will of the people, or they'll delay it like LePage had done in Maine.
So even though these particular states in question passed these ballot measures, you think that their Republican governors and or lawmakers will undo that or stop the implementation?
It's not clear, especially now with the House changing hands, whether or not these governors will then coalesce and say, give us the money and we will implement our own plans and expand Medicaid. The problem has been that, in addition to being ideologically an issue, was that you had both houses in Congress trying to repeal the Affordable Care Act, and what that uncertainty was doing to the Medicaid expansion also could have played into this. If you had governors in these states saying they wanted it, only to have all three branches trying to repeal it, they would have been at odds. But now, perhaps with the change of the House, it gives them a free pass to then say, okay, give me the money, since the my constituents all want us to expand it in our state.
Hmm. And let me just actually remind our audience, the states we're talking about here are Idaho, Nebraska, and Utah. These were the three states where this took place. Now, you have a situation where the Republicans are so out of touch with their electorate, but what is this? What did these ballot measures also say about the electorates here? It's been, you know, we've heard from so many Americans over the years since the Affordable Care Act was passed or even discussed. We've heard rhetoric from a lot of conservative Americans: the government should get out of my health care. Meanwhile, many of them do rely on government-supported health care. Do you think that these votes on Medicaid signal that Americans might be finally coming to an understanding that this isn't some evil socialist plot?
Absolutely. And I think particularly now that the Affordable Care Act has been law of the land for several years, there have been people who are ideologically conservative who have benefited from this and seen how it's improved their health security firsthand. So maybe there are quite a few people in these red states who have supported President Trump, who have pre-existing conditions that were then had to be insured under the Affordable Care Act, who now say, wait, you're going to try to do away with these protections. And they're much more vocal. So remember that the first midterms after President Obama had passed the Affordable Care Act, was a complete slaughter, or what he termed a shellacking, which was because of the healthcare bill. And here you have full circle, where they believe the reason that we were successful was not only an argument against President Trump, but again, people wanting to keep their health security that had been established over the last few years.
Do you think that the Democrats emphasized the issue of healthcare enough? We heard some, and we heard individual candidates like Stacey Abrams in Georgia made, for example, maternal healthcare a very specific healthcare issue, a central part of her platform. And when we saw a lot of sort of progressive leaning individual candidates actually just even say Medicare for all was part of their platform. But as a whole, were you happy with the way the Democratic Party emphasized that Democratic victory brings us closer to a Medicare for all system, or just better healthcare for us all?
Well, I think there's two things. One is, I think it was great to see the Democratic Party embrace the Affordable Care Act, where after the prior failures, they kind of ran away from it. And not only that, it became the most prevalent issue among voters. Matter of fact, if you look, there was a recent analysis that Google had done in terms of what was the most researched term leading up to the elections. And they broke it down by individual states. And sure enough, that every single state, whether it was considered a red or blue state, healthcare was the most Googled issue with regard to the upcoming elections.
Wow.
Now, and then also among Democrats, you had, of all the people that were running for the House of Representatives, almost 50% of all candidates were running as pro-Medicare for all candidates. So coupled with the fact that I think the approval ratings with how the Republicans have handled healthcare really are at a low. Everyone thinks this is all a referendum on Trump, which for the large part it was. But healthcare was really the defining issue that most people would say that was their number one issue in terms of what they were looking for in this midterm election.
So, as I mentioned, the exit polls definitely showed that 60% of voters thought that it was the government's responsibility to ensure that Americans had health care. Of course, this is an issue that cuts everywhere politically. It doesn't matter if you're Republican, if you get cancer and you don't have the money to pay for cancer treatments or the health care coverage that's going to cover, insurance that's adequately going to cover your cancer treatments, you are out of luck. So does that universality of this issue trump, if you will, the propaganda coming from Republicans about Medicare for all as a socialist project, even though, of course, Medicare for seniors is widely accepted and, you know, just like assumed to be the right thing to do?
Absolutely. And remember, when the Affordable Care Act was being debated, the Republicans were quick to call it a job killer. But if you look at since the implementation of the Affordable Care Act, the unemployment rate has continued to go down. It is an all-time low. So if anything, it's been anything but a job killer. And I think most people who are now seeing effects of the Affordable Care Act have generally been positive. And also, I think a lot of people are waking up and realizing that this was not a socialist takeover of medicine. If anything, the insurance industry is still very much in power. But this was at its core a Republican idea, originally championed by President Nixon and then the Heritage Foundation, and then first implemented by Mitt Romney. So I think most people have now woken up and realized that what they were told by the Republicans was simply not true.
So where does healthcare go now from here? With the Democrats controlling the House, can there be any movement on healthcare, given that they lack control of the Senate and the White House?
I think so. And what I've been hearing is now that the reality of a divided legislative branch has started to sink in, is that both parties have now said we need to try to work together to solve some common issues. I think trying to do anything drastic, such as Medicare for all, certainly will not happen as long as we have this divided government. But certainly the issues of where the Affordable Care Act falls short. the fact that 45 million Americans last year reported not filling a prescription because they couldn't afford it. The fact that a lot of people have difficulty paying their monthly premiums, even with a subsidy support. There are areas that both parties can work together to improve upon the existing law, and there are probably some things in the oldies in the ACA that both parties will realize need to be removed. But the important part is, I think that the Republicans, right, they wanted to take over, take control of both houses under the guise that they were going to repeal the Affordable Care Act. Tried numerous times, they weren't able to do it, and they've sort of you know, failed, and now they can go back and say, well, we've lost the House. The best we can do is compromise. So I actually think that something positive will come out of this with regard to healthcare. It won't be any long-term fixes, but I think there will be things that can improve upon the current situation.
Was there enough made of the fact that the Republicans failed, completely and utterly failed, in their years-long effort to repeal the Affordable Care Act? And now with the Medicaid expansion, their voters are also telling them that they do not want a repeal of the ACA. I feel like this wasn't a big enough issue. I mean, President Trump, with all of his rhetoric and propaganda, just sucks so much oxygen and in media coverage of all these other issues that are meant to distract us and scapegoat, lead us to scapegoat other people. But really, the passage of the tax reform bill last year and the failure to repeal the ACA should have been, you know, big, big stains on the Republican Party.
Absolutely. And I think that, again, Trump made this election much more about immigration, about the caravan, and less about healthcare or about the economy. And I think with regard to healthcare, despite all of the underminings that the HHS secretary has done, that the Republican Congress has done in terms of removing the individual mandate aspect, all of those things, despite the fact that they have weakened it, it's continued to thrive. And while not perfect, and certainly not the bill or the plan that I would like to see, is still better than not than what we had prior to it.
Do you think that the Democrats are going to push hard enough on healthcare? I mean, even if it doesn't go anywhere, it's so critical to keep raising the issue. It is now the easiest issue to raise in front of the American electorate, because we seem to have this cultural shift on seeing Medicare for All as a viable option. I would hope that they would hammer on it, reintroduce and try to pass the various, you know, the bill, the Medicare for All bill that has been introduced every year, I believe, you know, and take their lead from, and Democratic senators, at least those who are, who still have power, can take their lead from Bernie Sanders in the Senate.
Well, as you mentioned, I think the topic of Medicare for All or a government-run healthcare system is something that has dramatically gained approval among the general public.
Democrats could force Senate Republicans to vote against this, right? Like right away, this could be on January 1st or whenever they're inaugurated.
The problem is, though, I think that you have the leadership of the Democratic Party that is not interested in Medicare for All at this particular time. They, again, would like to try to find some common ground to improve upon the existing law. Now, having said that, Representative Pramila Jayapal from Washington is set to introduce a bill that would basically give federal waivers to states to implement their own healthcare systems, which would allow states like California to implement single payer if it were able to achieve that through its own legislature. And that would allow red states to implement their own sort of privatized solutions if they wanted to. So I think that is something that perhaps could get bipartisan support to allow states to implement their own innovation. I see that happening a lot quicker than a Medicare for All, at least certainly with the makeup of the Senate as it is, as well as with President Trump.
I mean, that is really disappointing. But the Democratic Party leadership has time and again disappointed Americans. If Forbes.com has an article about how the Democrats won on healthcare, what will they do now? In which they cite a Reuters survey showing that the public has almost 85% of Democrats and 52% of Republicans supporting the idea of Medicare for all. I mean, we're not even talking about the vague terms that used to be these euphemisms like universal health care that Hillary Clinton loved to use. We're talking about Medicare for all, which is kind, you know, fairly concrete. 52% of Republicans are supporting this. And yet the Democratic Party leadership with power in the House, you're saying, is unlikely to put their weight behind this and instead will opt for state by state waivers. So what can states like California do, for example, if such a waiver were to pass, such a law were to pass?
Well, we just have a new governor that ran on being in favor of single payer.
Gavin Newsom, yeah.
That has been that will be inaugurated in January, and hopefully he will make this a priority. Given now that the federal waiver aspect is no longer an obstacle if Representative Jayapal's bill passes. But here's the thing: I think that what's important for people to realize is that now we have, for the first time ever, a Medicare for All caucus in the U.S. House of Representatives, which has over 70 members. We have nearly 120 co-sponsors on H.R. 676, which is the Medicare for All bill in the House of Representatives. And we have 17 total co-sponsors to Senator Sanders' bill, which is the Senate version of a Medicare for All bill. There's still a lot of way to go, but as you mentioned about the poll that shows the overwhelming majority of people want Medicare for All, including 52% of Republicans, what you're seeing is a very rapid sea change. Just 2 years ago, during the Democratic primary, you had then Secretary of State Clinton saying that Medicare for All would never happen. This election, you had President Obama saying it was a good idea. You also, the only other thing that I could equate this to is if you look at how quickly the country shifted on marriage equality, that in a short period of time, I was looking at the polling over a six-year period of time, and it very much mirrors what we're seeing now with the public's change in perception of Medicare for All. Mm-hmm. And as soon as more and more people learn about it and start to want it and advocate for it, you will start to see the change. And I think that's what happened here in California. While our last state-based effort, 562, failed because we couldn't get Speaker Rendon to release it, the amount of organizing and education and pressure that was established in our state, I think, only helped to elevate the issue so much that Senator Kamala Harris was the very first senator to co-sponsor Bernie Sanders' bill. I would argue that had the state of California not gone down the route of starting to push a bill forward, that it wouldn't have caused this uprising of people that wanted support, and that Senator Harris wouldn't have been the first co-sponsor. So I think that it's
easy to get- So the state level politics really influenced the national politics there, yeah.
Absolutely, and I think this is only gonna continue to grow. And whether or not the Governor Newsom, Governor-elect Newsom, make single payer a priority in the first year, that will not change the fact that more and more Americans each and every day are wanting something better than the healthcare system that they have right now.
Right. Well, Paul, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Let's hope you and I have a conversation very soon in the near future about this issue moving forward rapidly. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Paul Song is a board-certified radiation oncologist, co-chair of the Campaign for Healthy California. He's also on the board of Physicians for National Health Program, and he's our healthcare correspondent. We've been discussing how healthcare became an unsung issue during the midterm elections. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.